talk a little bit about the recipes that you chose.
Oh, well, I chose red beans and rice.
Okay.
I chose fried catfish and homemade potato salad.
Okay.
I'm glad I brought them. I chose bread pudding. And the fourth one was, homemade potato salad. So that was the fourth one. All right, so that's why I told you. Now you need the reasons why I told you?
Well, I was just gonna say, just anything around, are those your specialties? You know, why did you pick those?
Oh, that's easy. I picked those because I spent most of my time growing up as being a help in the kitchen with my mom when I was old enough to remember doing those things. I'd go in the kitchen and she would be preparing either a meal or a dessert or something. So I was privy to watching her prepare things and then participating in it as much as she, you know, let me do. Mm-hmm. For instance, potato salad. She'd have the eggs boiled, the potatoes boiled, and I would have to, mash the potatoes, and she'd tell me how much to mash them, or I would have to add a little mayonnaise or mix the mayonnaise and stuff. So in essence, I was learning while watching and being in the kitchen. That happened a lot of times. And when she was making things that I really liked and really loved to smell, I would definitely participate more in. Like this is, she's making a sweet potato pie. So you know, the reward of helping a person when you're doing that is you get to sort of take your finger and, you know, clean the rest of the pot. So, you know, I was there for that, being a big kid, you know. So I was there for that. And that was the joy of being in the kitchen, you know, being able to help mom. You're going to get the little reward, and then later on you get to eat it again after it's prepared. So I grew up smelling home-cooked food, working with my mom in the kitchen. So some of that rubbed off on me later in years. I didn't have to cook as much when I got married.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm single again, I could cook a lot of things that I, you know, remember, and it comes back to me, those same things that we were in the kitchen doing. I'm telling the ladies in there, I said, well, you know, it's not hard once you remember what you have to do and you start fixing the way you like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun. And ladies gave me these recipes, and why did she do that? I love French toast.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm up there, they say eight slices of bread. I say, wait, I eat about six, you know. They said two eggs. I said, no, I use one. So it's,
right.
It's things that you do in accordance with what you like.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me sweet potato casserole. Look, I don't know how to make that, but guess what? Michael's gonna try that. peanut butter cookies. It's amazing. I went to a store and bought a peanut butter cookie mix. Now, if I don't have to buy a peanut butter mix, and I have peanut butter, one egg, see what I'm saying?
It's right. Sugar.
I didn't know that.
You
know?
Right.
And here's, I love pecan pie. So look, I can make my own, and I have a little bit of containers and stuff from previous ones. You know, I can do that myself.
Really?
And all the ingredients that I like. And if I don't like it this way, I can change some of the ingredients and make it the way I want it. You know, not as sweet or add more, you know, pecans and stuff. I like to do stuff like that.
Well, tell me about pecan pie, because I've never been a fan, but I want to be converted. You know, I want to understand why some people love it.
Well, first of all, it's not pyrenees like some people think. Pecan pie is sort of like the reverse of sweet potatoes and whatever, because it has that sort of syrupy taste. It has lots of pecans up in it. And if you make it right, you're gonna love it. Just try it. That's all I can say, try it. You're gonna love the pecans up in it, and you're gonna like the sweet taste, and it has the pie crust.
Right.
That's the beauty of it, you know. When you bite into all those ingredients together, just, you know, just mouth just goes crazy, you know. That's what best I can describe it, if it's done right.
Right.
You know, if it's done right.
It always seemed like gooey and overly sweet to me.
It is, but you have to develop, it's an acquired taste, I guess.
Yeah.
You have to develop a love for it and not have too big of a piece.
Mm.
Because if you go too far, you're not going to like it. If you take a small piece and you eat it and it's done right, you're going to love it again.
Well, so it sounds like you do a lot of improvising. You don't necessarily work from a recipe. You just try to put it together.
I try it based on memory. Then, like my son said one day, he said, "Yeah, go to Google and you can make a pancake or recipe from the stuff that you have." So I do use ingredients sometimes, but then I modify it and find out that it's better. Like potato salad, I know what I want in mind, so I make that automatically by myself.
Okay.
And I've watched my mom do that, you know, many times, so I know what I want. Basically potatoes, and basically mayonnaise, basically egg, basically parsley, garlic, onion, see?
Right.
And, you know, those things. And when I get it to the taste that I want and the consistency I want, I'm happy.
Right.
I thought I saw on this herd something about milk. I said, no milk. But, radish, let me see what else. She said celery, that was it. Celery, no, I don't like celery.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't agree with me, you know.
Well, my mom sometimes puts dill in her potato salad.
I don't take that, but some of that, mustard.
Yeah.
Some people put mustard in there. Mm-hmm. See, that's a specialty thing that I do. But mostly I'm experimenting and fixing it to my taste because I'm alone, but I've given it to some people. You know, you make a mean potato salad, it's like, okay. And I started baking cakes and stuff, and you know, cakes come out good, so I'm putting it on my phone, and I said, look, see, I made it. I said, well, here's the problem. I gotta sit up here and try to eat the whole thing, but no, I'm not gonna sit up and eat the whole thing. I'm giving it away.
Right.
No.
I say, well, it's fun to cook for other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I try to find people to give it to, because I don't wanna, you know, gain any more weight or whatever. I'm gonna stay down a little bit too.
Right.
But I love cooking, and I don't like going out to, restaurants, and they're not restaurants, fast food places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can't afford to go to restaurants all the time. But I love to cook for myself, and you know, it saves money, and you know, you have a lot. You know, I can cook a pot of beans and have that in the freezer, like Mom said, for months. You know, eat off of it different times or whatever.
So with the red beans, are you diehard every Monday? Gotta have them.
Yeah, Monday, Tuesday. That's a New Orleans tradition mostly. Yeah, Monday, Tuesday is like a fixed thing. Here's another fish on a Friday or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like diehard things that, if not fish, shrimp or some kind of seafood.
Right.
I love lobster, you know, lobster tail, stuff like that. I love oysters, truck grilled oysters, stuff like that. Now that's a once in a blue moon type thing, and going out with somebody or something. Yeah, that's
Well, do you do those things because you're Catholic or just because you grew up doing them?
I don't do them because I'm Catholic. That's a misconception with some people. Now, in the month of Lent, yes, I'm going to follow the doctrine of being Catholic by eating mostly seafood, but I don't necessarily do things in accordance to my religion. You know?
Okay.
But I try to follow some of the doctrine. You know? The meat is Friday, yeah. You know?
Right.
But, you know, it's not like written in stone, you know.
Okay. All right.
Because, look, I'm a Catholic convert. When I was going to Xavier, I took some religion classes and stuff. Then I married a lady who was a Catholic. And the first thing out of my mouth was, because you're married a Catholic, you got to do it. Okay.
Right.
No problem, as long as you believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a beautiful thing, because I now go to St. John the Ball, which is in the Gertown area, a little bit farther back. And I've been going to Catholic Church, so I could do it, no problem. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, okay, so what's special about your bread pudding?
Well, what's special about my bread pudding is I can do it with different sweet ingredients. Like some people may put fruit cocktail. Some people may use peaches.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may use raisins. Each one of those alone, I might mix it up. I might have raisins with my peaches. I may have fruit cocktail instead of peaches. I may have peaches instead of raisins. It's how I feel at that moment, you know, at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out something that don't necessarily have to be made with French bread. It can be made with old sliced bread, stale, and you know, from Canada, it's just me, or even something else I found out, wheat bread. Oh, that's a whole other animal. And by me experimenting, whatever I have left or whatever I feel I want at the time, because I'm alone again. Mm-hmm. If the taste buds want something sweet, and I have those things there. It's a simple egg batter, sweet egg batter, milk, and sugar, cinnamon, vanilla. See what I'm saying?
Right.
I know what to put in it, soak the bread in it, you know, let it sit there for a while and get to the right consistency, and then just pop in the oven, you know, and it's done. You can smell it, like I was telling you. My kitchen is not too far from the bedroom, so if I'm in the bedroom, it's coming down the hall and you can smell it cooking, and that's a pleasant smell. It makes you very happy. You know that it's, you know, bacon is, you know, almost ready, you know.
Right.
And time-wise, I'm pretty close to guesstimating how long it takes for something to get done. Then I still go back there and check it, you know, and make sure that it's browning and getting to the right, you know, cooking desired finish, you know, amount that I want it to be in, you know, temperature I want it to be in, baked, done, not raw, you know.
Right.
But it always comes out good. And I surprised myself. It's like a natural talent, because I guess I acquired it from my mom by watching her, you know. That would make me feel comfortable. But I normally used to rather go out and buy stuff than to, you know, make it myself. But I find that it comes so natural, just like a second whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes me feel good.
And so were you the main one in the kitchen with your mom?
Yes. not even my youngest sister. I was mostly the one in the kitchen because I was the oldest. When she remarried, before she had any other children, I was a baby, so I grew up being the oldest in the next group of kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I was the one who was always in the kitchen, helping her, like I said, and you know, doing things with her. So I naturally had that little love for cooking. I don't even know why, but I, you know, like cooking.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever cook for your mom?
No, but she's still cooking for me. And when I go there, it's a bad habit she has of overloading the plates. And, I don't eat that much money. Like, tell people it's like the Last Supper, you know?
Oh, right.
And look, I got to drive back, you know, she lives in Baton Rouge, and I have to drive back. So imagine all that food on you, and you're trying to get back, and it's almost a 2-hour drive, so you're trying to.
Right.
No, man, you can't do that. Can't tell her that.
Okay.
So,
And so, for the most part, are your kids here, or are they elsewhere?
One of my kids is in New Orleans East. The other kid is in Baker, Louisiana. And my son is in part of Texas, Natchitoches, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He's in college.
Okay.
So that's how they arrange them, and then all.
Well, what do y'all do for holidays?
They come down to my ex-wife's house.
Okay.
And I'm invited, but then I feel kind of funny about that, so I haven't been doing it. I guess if this year they do it, I'll do it. But I feel like the fifth wheel, you know, it's kind of awkward. You know?
Yeah, I can imagine, but.
Thank you.
I mean, but holidays aren't holidays without family.
Right. I feel separate and apart most of the year, so one day to me doesn't make up for all the days that I'm separate and apart, but I'm getting better with it.
You know? Right.
You know, I guess the older I get, the closer I get with accepting some things, and like you said, doing some family things, and it's not all about me, it's about bringing family together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really happy about them adjusting to their stepmom and, you know, taking her as their, you know, like a real mom, so I'm happy about that.
Right.
You know, I just have to get over the fact that I'm not a part of that mix totally, you know, because I'm a family type person. You know?
Right.
And we were married for 19 years, so it's kind of, you know, hard to get over that.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to be a bachelor again, I can tell you that. This is a whole other animal. You know?
Right. Well, let's see. You didn't say much about frying catfish. What's your technique there?
Oh, that's That's another one. There are several ways you can do it. You can make an egg batter, or you can just do it the way I do it. Here's my way. First, I make sure the fish is not frozen. I'm sitting in the freezer. I rinse it off. Then I put a light amount, I'm not supposed to have that much salt, so I put a light amount of salt on it because of hypertension. I don't use black pepper. I use garlic powder, onion powder, and sprinkling from the jars. Then I take what is called fish fry. They got different kinds. Zatarain, I can use cornmeal. Mm-hmm. I even know how to do that. And I dip the fish that's still sort of wet into the cornmeal, shake it up in a plastic bag sometimes. I even have cornmeal and flour sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it makes this nice little batter on it. I can do it with egg too, that's another type of batter, egg batter. But you also have to put salt and pepper up in it, or salt and the things I described. Mm-hmm. And when you make sure the grease is nice and hot, I use canola oil or vegetable oil, make sure it's nice and hot. That's the only thing I eat that's greasy, because I'm not supposed to have that too.
Right.
You know, so I make sure the cooking oil is very hot, so that's the way of doing that. Take a little water on your finger and tap it into it, and you hear popping. Mm-hmm. The cooking oil is ready. And you gently put this fish in there without burning yourself. Mm-hmm. I've experienced that once upon. But then you wipe it for a while. When you get to your desired brownness, you flip it over and you take it out. And I put mine on top of a rack with paper towels on it. Mm. So it'll absorb some of that grease
right before
I serve it. And then while I've already done potato salad, sometimes I have oven baked fries. Mm. Oven baked fries. Yeah, I don't do that two things greasy. Mm-hmm. That's just letting the fries sit in the oven and brown and flip them and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's my meal.
Okay.
Along with maybe a lettuce and tomato salad or something.
So do you fish at all?
Used to.
Okay.
I'm in an apartment up on the fourth floor. I rarely have those kind of things that I can do now, so that's a whole other thing. The second place that I haven't had in the last few days. I used to.
I just wonder, you know, I grew up with my grandfather, and he fished all the time, and it seems less like something that people do as like a pastime in New Orleans. I mean, I'm finding it more with people who are from places like Slidell.
We grew up in a night ward. We used to go to the lakefront. Well, now you can't swim. We used to go out there with poles and stuff. Mm-hmm. And my stepdad used to fish off of it and catch little crazy doctor fish, they call them, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then they had like little fish you could eat. But we also used to go back there on Old Gentilly Road and catch crawfish.
Really?
People don't know they got big fat crawfish back there, even today. Back there, one of the junkyards and all the old industrial areas. So go back there with a crab net, put a little bait up in it, and go back there and get crawfish.
Hmm.
Fat, big crawfish.
Wow.
I'll tell somebody, another place is up there behind Audubon Park. As you go into the park, you go back there and you catch catfish this big. I have literally seen people. I'm driving out of there after I went there for a while. And I said, man, what'd you caught? He said, I caught a catfish this big. He sure must have known. But I don't like to catch big catfish back there.
Well, what do you use for crawfish bait?
You can use chicken, you know, like wings or something. Put a little piece of raw chicken up in it and tie it down very good into the bottom of the crab or whatever you call it. You know, you can get them that thing. You know that. But crawfish, little thing. It's sort of squarish with four lines on it, and you just throw it in there, and it sits there in the water. And after a few minutes, crawfish crawl up into it, and they're trying to get the bait that you have in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And once they get up in there, some of them can't get away. Mm-hmm. So when you lift it up and out, they're stuck in it, you know? So you have them. And then you throw them into your ice cooler, and at the time that we were doing it, it was called a foot tub. I don't know if you remember that, it was maybe grandparents. It was an old metal iron type little bucket, you know, that you throw them into and they can't crawl out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember those things and I miss it, and I grew up with stuff like that too, you know.
Yeah.
Some of my brothers still fit, but they live in houses, and I live in a apartment, but I have the urge to do it, you gotta go out and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother and younger brothers do it, yeah.
All right.